You're listening to Shake Them Ropes, a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com for news, commentary, opinion, podcasts, and more in the world of pro wrestling. This episode of Shake Them Ropes is brought to you by the Voices of Wrestling Amazon affiliate link. Visit voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon to shop on Amazon like normal, at no extra cost to you. Every purchase you make, a portion goes to help support the growth of voicesofwrestling.com. That's voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. Whenever you're looking to shop through Amazon, make sure you go through the Voices of Wrestling affiliate link. That's voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. Follow Rob McCarron on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. Follow Jeff Hawkins on Twitter at CrapGame13. Shake Them Ropes is available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Downcast, and any RSS reader you may be using. All the information is at voicesofwrestling.com/STR. Subscribe today, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Enjoy the show. We hope to keep you around here at Shake Them Ropes.
I have found out that there ain't no sure way to find out whether you like people or hate them than to travel with them. Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer Abroad. Hey kids, Daddy's home. I missed all of you. And Rob was here holding down the fort quite well, doing live after shows for the past 5 days. Perhaps the most surreal moment is when our bus kind of stranded us after WrestleMania. We had to walk about a mile down the road to a shopping center to catch it. And as I'm crossing the street, a large SUV with three men in it is there, blasting Rob McCarron and Joe Lanza doing the WrestleMania after show. And I yell at them, "Is that Voices of Wrestling?" They go, "What? Is that Voices of Wrestling? What? Shake Them Ropes? Yeah. Yeah, that's my podcast. I should be on it right now."
We are making it big, Jeff.
It was just real. I'm like, I'm crossing the street and I go, "Is that McCarron?" Because I was trying to listen on an earpiece,
right?
But it wasn't coming out of my ear. And yeah,
we did a post WrestleMania show, myself and Joe Lanza, because you were there.
Yeah.
You couldn't really get on it right away. And then you tried to call from a very noisy place. So it was unfortunate.
It was just the wind.
Yeah.
The
wind was, oh, God. I know. We had some bad wind this weekend, but that was cool. Yeah, we actually, I got some DMs of people saying, "Yeah, you made the drive home from WrestleMania bearable." So I want to thank everyone who was watching and listening to our post show. And if you missed it, yeah, we talk about WrestleMania, and it's 2 days old by now, but still, it was a really fun discussion with Joe Lanza and I. Rich Craich and I went live after NXT TakeOver, and then I was live after Raw last night, and here you are, Jeff, finally back home, away from Dallas, Texas, to give us your thoughts of the weekend. And I want to know about this this bus mishap. Why was the bus stranding you? Didn't they know that, okay, the only reason they're out tonight was to get you home from WrestleMania?
Well, we had paid for her to stay there because we had underestimated the overrun.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it went 50 minutes over, plus having to get all the people out of there.
And then, you know, we had people not necessarily assigned to each bus, but you're supposed to go back to the bus that you rode on, and one bus made it. And one bus decided to leave and try and circle around and then couldn't make it through the cops, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, now we have to go on this journey to find our bus. And so about 90 minutes after the end of the whole show, we finally get on the road home.
What was the most hassle? What was the hardest to stomach? Was it the pre-show getting into the building or the post stuff getting out of the building?
Post stuff getting out of the building for me. Pre-show okay. Was easy for me because I had great seats, admittedly, but B, I had a friend who was tailgating. And so while everybody was standing around trying to get in there, we just, you know, kind of enjoyed ourselves. And then once they let everybody in, I got in there. The most hassle for me at the actual card was on this, you know, very expensive level of seating. Apparently, one of the ovens at the concession stand wasn't working. So there was a near riot by all these people who, you know, their line's moving faster. How come I don't have my food? You know, kind of thing. That was the most hassle for me. Other than that, I had no problems at WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's easy for me to say, but if I went to WrestleMania, like I'm seeing the lines for the bathroom, people are posting that on Twitter. People are posting the lines for the food. I'm like, I know there's going to be 100,000 people there at WrestleMania. I'm getting in for a day where I'm just going to sit in my seat for 7 hours.
That's what I did pretty much.
And you kind of have to do that. Advice to you, if you're going to a long show, make it your best shot so that you can sit down for 7 hours and don't have to rely on anything. Now, yes, I know that's more difficult now because they wouldn't let you bring in drinks and water and stuff like that, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's kind of tough when it's 7 hours long, but
yeah, don't drink a lot beforehand. Get the largest beverage you can, have a seat and just sip on it. That's what I did.
I would say there early too, but man, it looked like, you were one of the lucky ones because, you know, we saw people who hadn't even gotten in yet after being there for 3 hours waiting in line, hadn't gotten in by the start of the show.
No, I admit I was very, very lucky. And, before we actually start into the deep dive here, I'd be remiss not to thank everybody for the kind words and all the things all the people I met. I mean, Friday, I got to have lunch with some of the voices of wrestling guys like Joe and Warren and Chris Novemberino, who were all very, very cool, you know, fans like, Parker and Danny actually ended up sitting next to me at the F4W banquet didn't know it at first. Oh, you're that guy. Like, yeah, that's got to go, you know, Aaron and
you're the guy who makes sense of things.
And of course, our boy Damien was just plugging us wherever he could go. And it was almost embarrassing for me because I'm like, I'm just a jerk with a podcast. That's all I am. You know, Skill Crane. I got to meet him. I got to meet the Hales clan, who are awesome. At a show, if just for people watching purposes. You know, I accidentally asked the Fray how to get in. And it's like, OK, I'm just running into everybody today. The only person I missed, so I want to make this a special one, is Lou Pickney, who I've known online for 22 some odd years. We just couldn't get together, and it just that sad. And also, the Black Cat from Old School Wrestling Podcast gave us some kind words, so that was also cool. I mean, just cool experience, and a lot of shows, but I also got a lot of clarity about the WWE and wrestling and just the connection between indie wrestling and the disconnect as well. I mean, it was There's a lot to take in, and I think we'll get into it as we go along.
Yeah, we'll talk about this, but that's cool that you got to meet everyone. I mean, it was, originally I wanted to go to this weekend, and then it didn't end up happening, and I was jealous of you from about the time you got in until Sunday around 4:30 my time when I started seeing all these lines and people talking about Wi-Fi being down and not being able to get in the building, and I'm like, oh, this is just going to be a fun disaster.
The Wi-Fi sucked, the guy who bought your NXT ticket.
Uh-huh.
Los Angeles guy who goes to PWG shows.
Yeah, he was. I had to send it to Los Angeles. I mean, that's
and he was
I sent it.
Super stoked.
Oh, good. It was,
I'll pay whatever to go to see Shinsuke.
Well, he did.
Yeah,
he did. And I appreciate that. So you maybe you should have told him thank you for me.
I did.
Good. Very good. Very good. Did he know? He didn't know about Shake Them Ropes, though. So now you had to get someone to tell him, right?
I plugged it to him, and he goes, oh, okay, I think I've heard of Voices of Wrestling, because I think he listens for the Japanese coverage and stuff.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura debuting. Basically, I want to hit the high notes of the WWE shows, and then we'll get into kind of the whole weekend as a whole, and as we talk WrestleMania, we can get your new clarity, your newfound clarity upon WWE, the independence, and so forth, and so much more. But NXT happened on Friday night. That was not your first show of the weekend, though, right?
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yes. All right. NXT was first. I was positioned by where they had the pregame with Mauro, Lita, and Renee Young. And they took that stage down real quick. And that's where all the wrestlers were coming out to watch entrances and things like that. The sight lines weren't good. This is the only show I've actually now seen on TV that I watched live because the sight lines weren't good. They didn't have a Jumbotron to watch of any kind, really. So I missed you kind of get told by taller people, and I could stand on my chair because I was in the very back row, and I could actually then, see better that way. But no, this show was fantastic, top to bottom, for the most part, and especially, watching wrestlers come out to see, to watch Shinsuke's entrance. Well, it was fascinating people watching.
Was there anyone by you or that you knew of going into that show that maybe didn't know who Shinsuke Nakamura was? Maybe they watched NXT. Were there?
There were plenty because there were a lot of kids.
Yeah. So what were they saying? What were they saying afterwards?
They really liked him. I mean, it's oddly enough, it's not hard to get somebody over from Japan because they always do cool moves. It's the Muda complex from the old NWA and stuff like that. I mean, kids love martial arts, and the kids I saw loved Shinsuke Nakamura. And of course, it's also the atmosphere where everybody's so geeked for this guy and so excited that you're going to be excited too and come out that way and be, you know, even if you don't know who he is, at the end of the night, you're going to be excited about him and want to watch more.
So when Shinsuke Nakamura goes on and beats Sami Zayn, phenomenal. It was a phenomenal match to watch on television. You know, I watched it on the WWE Network. I wasn't there. Did anything translate differently when you watched it on TV versus when you were there live?
A lot of the facials between Sammy and Shinsuke.
I tell you what, this Shinsuke, he gets it too. Cause when you're watching on TV, when they first, when he gets in the ring and they kind of do their standing face off, you know, he looks a little bit to the camera very subtly. And I'm so glad that the camera was on him during this and he winks at the camera. Like, this guy is winking. Hey, I'm here, you know?
I missed the kick on the diving DDT just because I was on ground level.
Oh yeah, that would be.
So that was I was told what it was about, and I didn't get to see it until after that. But a lot of NXT alum were there to watch Shinsuke. Like as I wrote on my Twitter, I go, you know, you think Becky Lynch is pretty on TV? She is absolutely stunning in person. She was about a foot away from me, and yeah, wow. But like Sasha and Kevin Owens, and it got to the point where there was a guy in front of me who kept pointing his camera back and flashing it to catch people from behind the curtain and stuff. And I was like, dude, just watch the show. So some of you guys need to put down the cameras and watch the shows a little bit more. That's all I'm saying.
And that was certainly a show where you just want to kind of take it in, especially when you paid so much for it, when you're paying $500 per ticket if you didn't buy it when they were first on sale.
Yeah, yeah. The red hot tag match atmosphere was actually a little bit muted on TV. I mean, it was loud in that arena the whole time, especially when American Alpha was hitting moves. In retrospect, I know I said I was a little bit off put by the Bayley ending. At first, I like it now.
Yeah, because you did. You told me that people were just waiting, you know, during that final sequence, people were just waiting for Bayley's comeback and it just never happened. And that's kind of the story of the match, that Asuka kept her down and just never let her make the comeback.
Yeah, and we were all like, whoa, what happened? Because we couldn't see the hand going down, being flat on there. All of a sudden, the bell just rings, and everybody's kind of looking around going, what? Is this a screw job? Did somebody call for the bell? And we didn't realize she had gone to sleep until Asuka's music starts playing.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, what's happening? That happened. And then there was no, you know, there was the curtain call for Sammy after the match, but there wasn't one for Bayley. So you kind of assumed, okay, that's also kind of weird because everybody was just under the assumption that if she lost, she'd be getting promoted.
Oh, no.
And she didn't get a goodbye.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that because the concern about Bayley going to the main roster is, of course, you know, how will that character translate? Because, you know, the fangirl, will they have to start over? No, I think this is part of the hero's quest. Mm-hmm. This is the old 80s booking where a monster comes in, destroys you, and now she has to find a way to be the champion that she says she is.
Oh yeah. No,
I think this is going to help her immensely.
Yeah. The story here is obviously it seems like now is she's going to have to try and find a way to come back. She's going to have to go through, you know, some of the roster members. She's going to have to get her rematch. She's probably going to have to win a shot at the rematch and, you know, go in there. And that's going to be the story. Can she avoid that Asuka lock? Can she come back? Cause it doesn't look like she's going up to the main roster right now. And the question then becomes, because you have this issue with going from NXT to the main roster, is they spent so much time developing a character in NXT, and Bayley really got over because she was the underdog who always lost and then eventually found a way to win. That's how she got over. Does Bayley go on to the main roster if she ever does and start over as in she's a lovable loser coming up? Do they reference how she was an NXT champion and she's just all of a sudden, you know, good now in the main roster? Because you kind of have to build her up the same way to get the same results, don't you?
I think, you know what, a video package could help here immensely if you just wanted to bring her up as a champion who's been toiling down there, kind of like the, you know, how they do with other guys, who, you know, even the AJ Styles saying, I'm the veteran who hasn't had my shot here. Now's my shot. And they don't do those well.
Yeah, really. when you have NXT.
With the exception that Bayley is kind of self-made here, so you have all this video footage that you could give people that backstory, and then they could join in on that, I think.
Because when you have NXT here, and they're doing all the development of the characters, and people know them, and if you're expecting that people have seen NXT, Like Sami Zayn is a perfect one. Sami Zayn's just there on the main roster now, feuding with Kevin Owens.
They didn't do anything for him.
Yeah, and we're just supposed to know, like, obviously we know, but not everyone knows what his backstory is. And you're hoping they go to the network and kind of find a, you know, way to watch it on NXT TV. But you're not going to have the vignettes anymore, like the William Regals, you know, when they're showing what the real man's man is about, when they're promoting all these guys, you know, Primo and Epico right now. You can do it because they're not in NXT and we haven't been watching them for the last year. So you can kind of do some vignettes before they show up on the main roster. Braun Strowman didn't get vignettes. You don't see vignettes to introduce someone anymore, especially if they've been on NXT TV.
And that's such a shame because they pride, number one, they do videos so well. Number two, they pride themselves on being a movie making company. I mean, they could have been doing this with Baron Corbin, you know, for the Raw appearance. And, you know, we'll get into that eventually. But I mean, they can do this with all these guys that they're just now kind of bringing up, you know, with little fanfare, to be honest with you, except for the commentators putting them over like, oh, here's Apollo Crews. He's a four tool player. It's like, well, that doesn't really tell the story here. What told the story was all that stuff on Breaking Ground that you could have been playing for a couple of weeks. You know, the vaudevillains are going to die up on SmackDown, I think.
They really are. And I think the vaudevillains are being sent to die.
Okay.
I think that's they're being, fair. You know, sink or swim. We're pushing you. We have nothing to do with you on NXT anymore. We don't really, you know, think you're good enough for a Raw debut, obviously. We're going to put you on TV. And it's the Tyler Breeze situation. It's what New Day was. It's go up to this main roster. You're either going to sink or swim. You know, you're either going to get over or you don't. If you don't get over, we'll get rid of you. If you get over, great. But we have nothing else to do for you anymore.
And then there's the main event, which.
Well, before the main event, you talked about Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin lost to Austin Aries on the show, which surprised me a little bit.
That surprised the hell out of me.
Were people in the crowd as surprised as we may have been? Was Austin Aries expected to win?
No. Nobody in the crowd thought Aries was going to win. That's why it was so shocking.
And that's so strange, right? Because this is the new guy. This is his, you know, he's just like any other indie guy who wins on their debut.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen.
Well, I mean, it was a roll up. It wasn't a strong win. So you expected this would be, you know, the start of a feud of some sort where, oh, that was a fluke win and you're just an indie geek and, you know, cutting more promos of that variety. But you know, as they say, plans change. Did the Chris Gerard, Manny Andrade, match make TV or no?
No, Manny Andrade, Chris Gerard was the dark match. Apollo Crews was the dark match. Neither one of those made TV.
Oh, I forgot Apollo Crews didn't make TV. Yeah, no, that was nondescript, as nondescript as you can get, which also shocked me that Apollo would then get called up to Raw. Cause there was the rumblings that they had cooled off a bit on him. So
yeah, even his entire run in NXT was less than impressive, and not because he wasn't impressive. He was just a guy on TV. They came out with Breaking Ground, where he was fantastic, kind of just giving stares at all the other ones and laughing at some of the foolishness there in NXT.
His whole gimmick was, I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm a super athlete. But there was nothing really more beyond that. And he goes, he wrestles a couple of matches. He loses a match to Baron Corbin. He beats a couple of guys. He beats Elias Samson there on the pre-show. I don't know if they taped it and they're going to show it on TV, because they did, you know, promote that match for TakeOver. I don't know if they're going to show it on TV or if it's just going to be forgotten and we go on to Apollo Crews on the main roster, period. One thing you'll notice when he showed up on Raw is there was no NXT on the Titantron. Like, he is up in WWE right now and just ready to kind of take off. I don't even think he was on the NXT TV tapings at Axis either. And if he was, it wasn't much, it wasn't anything really, you know, drawing the eye to you.
Well, let me use your words then. Do you think they want him to take off, or is he there to be a guy to help others?
I think he's a guy that they want to take off. I think he's a guy that Vince probably saw and you're like, okay, we can get him up now. Let's move him to Raw and SmackDown. I want to use that guy. You don't need him down here, and I'll use him. But are we going to find ourselves into an issue because they brought up Baron Corbin? They haven't cut anybody, and you're going to have all these injuries start coming back. They had Cesaro come back on Raw. You're going to have John Cena come back, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, all these guys. They haven't cut anyone. They haven't set anyone new down. Zack Ryder's back on the main roster for at least a month, maybe. Are you going to hit a bubble? I asked this with someone on the VOW live show on Monday. Is WWE going to hit a bubble where we're going to see a mass exodus of maybe older talent somewhere? Because you're bringing up Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, the vaudevillains. It's not like we had a ton of place for these guys already, and now you're getting returns coming back. You're getting these guys being called up. their main roster is kind of full right now, no?
It's full, but if you cut that quote-unquote dead weight, you don't have anybody other than these mid-carders that you just brought up for the most part to lose to the top guys.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's the caste system is such that the bottom tier guys that have been around a long time are your local indie workers that you'd be hiring for squash matches. And plus, if there's going to be a roster split, which who knows, day to day, as they say, you're going to need bodies. And I think it's one of those things where they'd rather keep you around and not use you than let somebody else do it.
Right. And even now, though, where are you going to go? I mean, you're not. Yeah. Most likely, you, if you're someone of that caliber, you can go to Evolve, and there's a relationship there already. Vaudevillains were the one that surprised me. I was surprised at Epico and Primo on Raw, too, you know, getting the vignette they did.
Oh, that was on Raw. Okay. I thought that was just a commercial for Puerto Rico that they played on the Titantron.
No, that was a Raw vignette.
Oh, dear
for
God.
For Primo and Epico.
Oh, that's DOA.
They're Puerto Ricans again.
Call them DOA.
Yeah, they're Puerto Ricans again, so they're no longer the Matadors, but they just kind of did that commercial. There was no commentary about it on Michael Cole's part. It was just, we played this and we're moving on to Raw. So you have Primo and Epico coming back. If you're a tag team fan, you're going to get a ton of tag teams. I don't know if they're necessarily the ones that you want, but you're going to get the Vaudevillains coming up. You have the Ascension down there, the Dudleys, the Usos, Enzo and Cass debuting on Monday Night Raw. You were there as we just kind of scatter around, which is fine. You were there, obviously, on Raw 2 on Monday night. Enzo and Cass, was that the best thing on Raw in your perspective? And how did people wake up to that?
Best thing on Raw was probably the four-way.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the last half hour of Raw in general was pretty great.
I was more surprised because Enzo and Cass are such that they are basically the New Day in terms of, you know, lovable face tag team that does a lot of catchphrases. And I wouldn't think they'd want more than one of those on the main roster at once. So that shocked me. But Enzo, you know, the little chicken hawk that he is, hyped up, fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Gave a great promo, I thought. I don't think Bubba helped him too much. But at the same time, I just thought his kind of just casual dismissiveness. I thought D-Von was fine. I just thought there was a little something of Bubba that could have been a little bit more engaged with it.
Enzo's final line was a jab at Bubba, and that's when he got pissed off. Because at the time, he wasn't getting personally attacked. You know, they were joking on D-Von. They were joking as part of the team in general. But then when it hit Bubba specifically, that's when they kind of went to the ring. And yeah, they were dismissing him because it is Bubba Ray and D-Von. They only fight when they're the ones in favor, right? And they weren't going to be. They didn't have the high ground, if you will. But that'll be an interesting match because I don't really care for the work of both of these teams in the ring. Like, they're best served going pretty short. And you're going to have Bubba Ray slapping on some arm bars and some headlocks to Enzo all night long. And then Big Cass will come in, and that's when the fans will get hyped. I'm hoping that their catchphrase stuff doesn't sour quickly because that's really what their major thing is right now. But what helped their debut is just how great I thought Enzo was on the microphone. I mean, he was fired up. He wasn't misstepping. The people were getting what he was saying, which is a worry. You know, when he's doing the couple of haters and you're like, if you're not from New Jersey, these people in Dallas may not quite understand what he's saying there. But thankfully, people got it and people were hyped for Enzo and Cass. No Carmella, though. No Carmella. Was that interesting?
No, because I think you can save her for later. I think then she'd be, because then you get into the Stacy Keibler with the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Problem where it's just all about the hot chick with the tag team and nobody's paying attention to the tag team. I think it's fine to leave Carmella down for a while and bring her up eventually when you need her for something. Enzo's going to have that same issue as the New Day did when they turned face, in that we'll see how far with the edginess they'll let him do the promo.
Yeah.
Because when he doesn't have that, the promos aren't very good. So, and this was the crowd to debut them in front, because now people know what to do with them.
Yes.
That was the one debut that I thought was strong.
Yeah, his
that's
delivery. How you do it. His delivery, I thought, was just fantastic, and I'm so glad people understood what he was saying and were getting it, because that guy, when he was doing the tears running down the back of the head joke, and goes quiet. Oh, I thought that debut was about as perfect as you could have debuted those two.
Yeah, you tell the people who they are. The people are cheering, so they know what to do. You did all the lines that they're supposed to say when they're supposed to say them, and you know that these guys are fighters. It was a great, great debut, I thought.
We also had Baron Corbin's TV debut.
Let's finish up in NXT first, and then we'll keep going to that. How about that?
Do whatever I say.
And
now you forget. Yeah. You forget what you're going to talk about.
No, I know what I was going to say. You had brought up that tag teams were getting brought up, and NXT is now depleted. Other than American Alpha, you have American Alpha, you have the Revival, and you have Blake and Murphy. That's it.
Hey, you have the Hype Bros still. They wrestled on Access.
Oh, they did. They did.
You have the Hype Bros. Because by the time they wrestle on Access, Zack Ryder wasn't the world champion yet, or the Intercontinental champion yet. By the time that'll air on TV, he's no longer the Intercontinental champion. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Zack Ryder just double dips for a month, because after a month, he's not going to be in a feud with The Miz. You know, if they wrestle at Payback, Zack Ryder and The Miz, it'll be a one-off. Zack Ryder's probably not going to win, and he can go back to NXT doing his thing.
Yeah, and the other thing that came off on TV better than in the crowd with my sight lines was just how bad the WWE medical staff ruined the pace of that Joe Balor match.
It was unfortunate, when Joe's eye was bleeding, but... From a live perspective, you may not have actually gotten to see what was going on because that blood was spurting out of his eye. They had to stop it and kind of cool it down. Yeah.
No, I get that. But even so, you do it. You don't use towels. You use your coagulator or whatever. You put that in there or you staple it.
Well, I bet, super glue. What happens in a situation is they try to just wipe away the blood because they don't really know if it's going to keep pouring out or if it's just blood on the face. So they wipe it away. When they see that it's still going on, that's when you start seeing the more drastic measures just to try and close it. So yeah, the pace was kind of hurt, but at the same time, it helped the match on TV because you had this sick Samoan monster who was with blood all over his face and chest who... Finn Balor got a win squeaking away, and Samoa Joe now is going to go after him like this. Oh my God, I can't believe I let you get away. And there might be more to it now. And you have an excuse for Joe. Like there was blood in his face. Mm-hmm. So I think he played it off
real well. I liked, shoving the doctors away. I made it feel like a fight feel, which, I'm always a fan of.
Yeah. My favorite match of that night was Shinsuke Nakamura's debut. That Shinsuke Sami Zayn match was absolutely fantastic. And then Finn Balor and Samoa Joe is probably my second best of the night.
Oh yeah. You know what? I give a lot of props to the Bayley just cause it was a great story match as opposed to a technical, I thought if they do the angle right, it's going to be really something. I don't know if they're going to make Asuka more heelish now, but, it'll be interesting to watch. here's the encapsulation of part one of the bubble that we live in and realizing that while our bubble is growing, that what WWE is an entire chasm apart from the bubble. I'm walking to the NXT show by myself. I kind of take a side street down to the convention center. I'm about an hour early, not too much more. So, I mean, there are people milling about and stuff. Walking down the street alone with his bag, Zack Sabre Jr. No one's bothering him. No one's yelling, "Hey, Zack." No one knows who he is. And I stop and I have a very lovely conversation with him. He gives me a hug, which throws me off a bit, but nevertheless, tell him I got to see him in PWG. Couldn't be nicer, but I go, I'm standing in front of the K. Bailey Hutchins Center with Access with all these wrestling fans around.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who's going to be a rock star on the network sooner rather than later. And no one knows who he is. Except me standing here talking to him.
Yeah. A British fan stands outside the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, he's going to be in this network. The Global Cruiserweight Series, he's one of the first names announced. I'm still waiting for one of these indies to promote him in a qualifying match.
It'll be progress, right?
Yeah, because, they already announced he's going to be in it. So I was for sure that he was going to be in a qualifier for one of these companies. So I'm still waiting for one of these companies to kind of, get spoiled by Triple H, book him in a qualifying that he's going to win, obviously. But Zack Ryder's going to be in the series. They announced another name.
Zack Sabre.
Huh?
I said Zack Sabre. No, you said Zack Ryder.
Oh, not Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder will probably not be in the series. Zack Sabre, sorry.
Oh, he might be. They might put him in there.
Kota Ibushi is going to be in this Global Cruiserweight Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty exciting.
I got to see Coda for the first time. I really enjoyed the entire setup of Evolve. I like their presentation. I like that they have managers. My only real issue is not a lot of diversification of styles the roster, because there's a lot of, to quote the great Lanza, grapple fuckery on there, including one of the main stables feuding with the champion and feuding with Zack Sabre. I mean, it's all this kind of, I mean, I can take or leave it. I got to see enough that I liked. That Ricochet Will Ospreay match on 59 is fantastic. It really is. And I know I sometimes get down on the whole theme park stunt show aspect of what the high flyers these days are doing, but man, that match was great. I loved Eddie Dean's Ranch as a venue. I know that there was some kind of casual dismissiveness of it beforehand, but it's really was a fantastic venue for wrestling. Great sight lines. It's a country western barbecue joint, and they're doing it in their ballroom concert hall part of it. And for the WWN Super Show, the storefronts were like mini balconies, and Ibushi and Ospreay both make their way up there. That six-person tag is worth going out and seeing as well, with Perkins and Gargano against Euro Trash. I thought that was a really, really fun match. Chris Hero had a couple of great matches. And I was very, very impressed with Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle has a certain kind of almost psychotic charisma to him, where if the talent catches up, I mean, I put, if I could combine Miz's charisma and Matt Riddle's athletic ability, I could make a mint with that kid. And I was surprised, 'cause I didn't think he'd be that smooth and that good.
He's getting better. He's still relatively new to it. So, I mean,
he was only working. I mean, he worked Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah. And he, Tracy Williams, right? Yeah, Tracy Williams. Nope. Tracy Williams at the Super Show. But I mean, even in the angles he was doing, I mean, he's part of this, Catch Point. And you know what? Your eyes are just drawn to him during all the angles involving Catch Point. You know, I enjoyed Hero versus Fred Yehi. I thought he was very good. I enjoyed Ethan Page's work here. This is the first time I've seen him solo since the Monster Mafia broke up. Who I had seen in PWG and I really liked. That's a shame. This is actually the first time I've seen SoCal Val do anything other than look pretty. And I think she's a very, very competent heel manager. So, I mean, I enjoyed the entirety of the product. You can hear promos as opposed to it being like in PWG, the audio quality, if you've watched DVDs, especially when guys get on the mic, it's like 1995 Radio Shack quality, even in the building. So, I mean, I really enjoyed everything about Gabe's product to the point I bought a t-shirt. So, I mean, there's not much more you can say.
So you went to NXT on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then what was the day? I mean, what was the combination of shows that you went to on Saturday? Because it sounded like Saturday was a day that just wore out everybody.
Saturday, I went to the noon Evolve show, which was 59, which was the U.S. versus Europe series. And, you know, Marty Scurll was fantastic again. And Tim Thatcher made his faces, and and they ran an angle with Evolve, the tag team of Gargano and Galloway breaking up. And then I took a bit of a break, and then at 8 o'clock I went to the WWN Super Show. In between, they had a Shimmer show at Eddie Dean's, and most people were trying to pick between the WrestleCon Super Show at the Hyatt, which was great people watching all week. Got to meet Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, you did. You texted me as soon as that happened. Like, I met Tully.
I was so geeked. There's very few people that make me lose words like that. I think Don Rickles and Steve Winwood would be the other two. But and I met Don, and the same thing happened. And it was just like, wow, I don't get starstruck, but that did. Saturday was a day where you went to a show, you tried to get a little bit of rest, or you went to the Shimmer show. And then you went to one of the two big shows in town. And then, you know, if you wanted to, or no, Kaiju Big Battle was Friday night. And I heard all about that, which seemed incredibly insane. But yeah, no, it was long shows. Both, I mean, all these shows were long because it was like, hey, we got a crowd and we're going to try and get it all in. But, you know, it was still fun. There was still, I mean, even though it was long, it was still a lot of fun.
Did anyone watch the Hall of Fame on Saturday night, or did you watch that on the network maybe when you're settling back in the hotel, or is the Hall of Fame still something you haven't seen yet?
I watched on the bus trip to Mania, I watched the Freebirds induction.
Okay. That was the one that went the longest. That was probably the highlight as far as the Freebirds dancing and telling the stories and whatnot. It went for a good amount of time.
And I thought Garvin was really good on it too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They said about Michael Hayes, I thought Garvin was very appreciative of the honor.
Yeah, you had some feedback before the Hall of Fame night that Garvin maybe shouldn't have even been included in that. Do you disagree with that? Are you happily welcoming of Garvin being?
Oh no, I said when it was announced, Garvin was always teamed with the Freebirds in World Class, as an close ally. So I had, and you know, and he was really a Freebird in the later WCW run that doesn't get a lot of love, because Gordy was always in and out. But no, I had absolutely no problem with Jimmy Garvin being a part of this.
And then Saturday goes away. You've had a lot of wrestling, and Sunday is coming up with the big WrestleMania. What did you guys do any events before WrestleMania, or was that the main attraction of the day?
How much are you going to do before a 7-hour show? No, a bunch of us went out to lunch and then came back and got on a bus. I had some cosplayers on the bus, and I was sitting next to Brian Alvarez, who was just rolling his eyes the entire time, because we had NWA cosplayers on our bus who would not drop the gimmick for the bus ride.
Really, the bus ride?
Bus ride, and they were drinking.
Sure.
And it was one of those things.
If it's a day of fun, why not go all out at it?
I'm on a bus, man. Yeah. I can't get away from you. So that I brought headphones and I watched the Freebirds.
Oh, that's when you watch the Freebird induction. You're on the bus. You're on the bus trying to ignore the cosplayers.
Exactly.
Like I'm gonna get some Freebird action in here.
Yeah. WrestleMania is interesting because I think it can be encapsulated by the elevator ride I went on after I got home before I went down to the bar for a nightcap. And I don't wear them. Thank you, Naked Gun. Half the elevator thought it was one of the best WrestleManias they had ever seen, and half thought it was one of the worst. And a few went, it was okay.
That's good, because I really like this WrestleMania.
Yeah, I listened to the show. You really liked it. I kind of agree with, I'm siding with Lanza a bit. It was a show, but I enjoyed myself. I mean, I realize it's not a wrestling show.
It's not. It's not.
And I realized just how we worked ourselves into a bit of a shoot that it was for the booking, because you said you were confused by the booking of it.
I thought the booking was weird because, I mean,
no, it wasn't. If you step back, okay,
right,
keep going with your point, and I'll.
Listening to it, like I'm just watching finish after finish, and I'm like, oh, that's weird that Brock Lesnar won. Oh, that's weird that Chris Jericho won. And now I'm not so upset with the Chris Jericho one because we found out, you know, the next night that he was going to win the series by pinning Chris Jericho and getting the world title shot. So that kind of went that one I'm okay with now. But Brock Lesnar and then Dean Ambrose doesn't make the show the next night. There was some weird booking early on, and then I wasn't a fan of obviously the Roman Reigns Triple H match. I just thought like this show needs to end at this point. I've been watching my TV for 7 hours, so it was more that than I was really hating on the match itself. I really like the Shane McMahon Undertaker, you know, craziness aspect, even though the match was a little slow going early on. But as far as WrestleMania, and I'm having fun watching it, the pre-show delivered huge. I saw all the pre-show matches and they were great. And some of the matches that I weren't expecting to be good were really good. And I really liked the work of AJ Styles and Chris Jericho. I thought the Divas Triple Threat was amazing. And as a show in a vacuum, if I'm just talking about that one show, I was entertained for the 7 hours. I wasn't hating it. I thought it was a good show for me.
It's a fine show. But I'm going to now explain why you thought the booking was off and why it wasn't. Because almost everything can be explained by that reaction in that Dudley's Usos match.
Yeah, which, the crowd came alive for the Dudleys.
Yeah.
They really do.
The bubble was there in full force, but out of the 90-some-odd thousand, it was probably about a third to a fourth.
The Dudleys,
everybody else is kind of casuals.
The Dudleys were about the biggest stars in, as far as a wrestling perspective. You know, they've been around forever. They were about the biggest stars up to that point of the show.
Oh, they were. Yeah. And there was a point to them being there, and I'll get to that in a moment. In my opinion, you can tell me I'm off base after I finish or not. But, you know, in my section, you know, I had families and mostly casuals, some of whom didn't even know who half the guys were who were coming out. And others Yeah, I had one next to me who basically had all the results leaked beforehand and had put a parlay on the matches and was hoping nothing changed last minute. So I got the both worlds going on around me.
That's what I hate, is guys sitting next to me at a show who thinks he knows all the results.
He wasn't saying anything about the results. He's just very nervous that they were going to change one of the results and ruin his parlay. He was being tight-lipped.
There were some
about
betting
everything.
Odds. There were some betting odds that kind of leaked out, and you know, things that made it look like the finishers were finalized on Saturday, and then if they didn't change anything, the Zack Ryder one was the biggest one. You know, Zack Ryder became a huge favorite on Saturday for that Intercontinental Championship, and everyone was like, "What's going on here?" So if you placed a bet on Zack Ryder early, you got a lot of money. That basically, for these websites that still take bets on WWE wrestling.
Right. Here's why you were confused. WrestleMania was what they had hoped it would be when they planned this. It was a giant celebration of the megalomania of Vince McMahon as an entertainment promoter. And it was branding. It wasn't a wrestling show. It was complete and utter branding to bring more eyeballs to have a record-setting show. And this show, when you step back and look at the booking, it wasn't, you used the word pessimism when you described my picking AJ over Chris
well,
Jericho over
let's
AJ.
Let's be real. You picked it straight
was true.
Out because of pessimism.
Yes. And I shouldn't have. I should have picked it for another reason. It's the safest decision to make
right. When
you look at what Vince McMahon was doing with this. This was a celebration of him as creator of WrestleMania. And he wasn't going to take any chances in the booking with the largest crowd ever. He was going to play it very, very safe. On your pre-show, even the match order in and of itself is geared towards that. Your first match is Kalisto versus Ryback on the pre-show on free TV. And early enough so the kids who are still in the audience are still engaged, because here's the superhero with the mask. Flipping around, mommy, daddy, can we buy WrestleMania? Can we go see WrestleMania? Next is your Total Divas match, which is for your crossover audience of any that you have, and maybe women who watch reality TV. Your third match is for dad, who may be a lapsed wrestling fan. Here's the Dudleys. You remember the Dudleys. You liked the Dudleys. And even though they didn't win, which is weird, you got your table spots and you got, you know, that kind of feel-good thing. For, you know, even some of the more hardcores. And then you go into the main card. First match in is the ladder match for the Intercontinental title. A very safe booking decision with these six guys, for the most part, because Sin Cara was the designated, he's going to do the holy crap move to pop the crowd.
And he sure did.
Yes. Any of the other five guys who had won this match would have gotten a gigantic pop of any kind, if you look at it. And this is how Vince looked at it. This is his gift to the quote-unquote wrestling bubble fans. You had Zack Ryder, who Vince, in his own bubble, thinks, oh, only the geeks like him, so we'll put him in. And yes, it's out of touch by a couple years, but he probably still thinks that, judging on if you watched his promo on Raw. You know, Ziggler would have gotten a pop. Miz would have gotten a reaction. I don't know if, you know, maybe that's... or that's probably an anomaly. I'm probably wrong on that one. But Cody Rhodes was doing a Dusty Rhodes tribute act with both the ladder and his outfit. And then you had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Anyone other than Sin Cara and probably Miz, although Miz would have gotten a nice boo out of it, you would have gotten a even bigger pop out of. So that was the safe match. That was the love letter to the fans to get them on the show side, to get momentum for the rest of it. And then the other winners that you had, look at the last names. Jericho, Flair, Lesnar. You had Austin, Foley, and Michaels come out to get the big old evil monster heels down after a match. You know, The Rock came out to look good. It was all stars. You got to see the stars, so you'd have the water cooler moments on television. Jericho is a big enough star from the Attitude Era to be put over here and still be considered a water cooler kind of moment. Then you have the booking of Baron Corbin in the Battle Royal. Here's the one guy to keep an eye out on. He's the one guy on the come that the company believes in. And then you have the crowning of the new star to go along with all these other stars that you saw. And so none of these other guys on the card have won to overshadow the new guy that you should now view as the new star, which is Roman Reigns. It all made perfect sense when I backed off and looked at it like that. I don't know what you think of my theory there.
No, I think you're right. I mean, Vince is booking the show and he's like, who should win? I'm looking at the big names versus I'm looking at the nobodies. And, you know, the Styles and Chris Jericho won again. Right now I'm fine with. I was a little confused at first, like, what is the sense there? But hey, AJ Styles is the number one contender. They're giving him a title match against Roman Reigns. And
Well, what he did the next night was say that none of WrestleMania mattered.
Basically, that's what it was.
I mean, that's the weird thing is it was all a deus ex machina. I had my entertainment extravaganza. Now I got to go back to my company and do it for a year until I can bring back all these stars again.
Yeah.
He didn't get the George Strait record, which is what he really wanted in the stadium, but that's what he was gunning for. And he was going to put Dean Ambrose over Brock Lesnar in front of that large of a crowd, thinking that all the casuals won't know who the hell that is. And then they won't react.
Well, that and the fact that when we talked about our preview show, I'm not shocked by the Dean Ambrose. What I was more surprised at is the combination of those who won.
Okay.
I was surprised by the combination of Chris Jericho, the League of Nations, and Brock Lesnar all winning. It wasn't that any one of those was, you know, crazy or surprising. It was that
You can't count the League of Nations as a quote-unquote win because that was a means to an end.
Well, that's what I'm talking about here, yeah. Is that you had, okay, the League of Nations win because they were going to be getting in this segment with Steve Austin. You had Chris Jericho winning because AJ Styles was getting the big thing the next night. You had Brock Lesnar win because he's Brock Lesnar, and you want to keep Brock Lesnar happy, and Dean Ambrose doesn't necessarily need the win. Dean Ambrose is a pay-per-view loser. He always loses on pay-per-views, and the crowd is still somewhat behind him. And then Charlotte, of course, now Charlotte can go and get a one-on-one match with Sasha Banks so they can do a rematch. I was more surprised at the combination of all of them winning versus any single one winning.
Okay, yeah, after a while, I just was like, look at the last names. They're all famous and whatnot. And, you know, Charlotte's a Flair. People know who Ric Flair is, and there you go. But just all of that just made me realize, yeah, he booked for the casuals here.
Were people live getting upset at the show? Were they all enjoying it? Like, how was the live reaction where you were sitting? Because you're sitting with a bunch of people who follow the inside stuff in wrestling and whatnot. How did they react to the show as it was going along?
Oh, families were chanting. The casuals were all into it and chanting all the time. But they've also been conditioned to know, you know, oh, it's too early for a pin here. We can't be blowing out our voices here. I mean, they knew the pacing of matches. And the like. The thing that was driving me nuts in the live experience, I don't know if you've heard this or not, on the Jerrytron, the giant TV up above the stadium, for three of the different matches, it's a four-sided thing with the two long screens and then the two short screens.
Mm-hmm.
They kept the live feed on the short screens there. On the big screens, from time to time, they'd cut to crowd shots or... For the New Day, they'd start the "Hey, we want some New Day" chant to get it artificially going, yeah. And then they had the suplex count, and then for Charlotte they had "Woo" whenever she'd go on offense, and it was driving me nuts because I'm trying to watch the match on the screen because you can't really see with all the you know, bells and whistles of the staging.
It's tough to watch the ring, right?
And they're cutting to this stuff that doesn't matter, and I'm like. You know, to the point where I tweeted at the stadium, tell them to cut that crap out because I want to watch this match.
Did it work, Jeff?
No, it didn't.
No, of course not.
Kind of disagreed. They were really into the women's three-way quite a bit as well, the crowd. I disagreed a bit with Joe's thing that was the most important in 30 years, mostly because I think without Sasha, Bailey, and Brooklyn over-delivering there, and getting that kind of reaction, then the Divas Revolution, quote unquote, has no juice. And you probably have two of those women still down at NXT.
Yeah.
And they're still kind of doing these Divas matches right now. They'd have brought up Charlotte by now, but I think Sasha and Becky would still be floundering, or they wouldn't be floundering, but they'd be, if that match goes wrong, they're in NXT for at least another year. Maybe up at this point, they're getting brought up, but without that match, even though it's not official WWE canon, then this triple threat doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Or doesn't even go off.
John Cena came back.
I was fascinated he didn't show up on Raw.
Yeah, it looks like, and the way, because you didn't, you haven't seen the WrestleMania on TV yet, right?
No, I have not.
So what was happening is John Cena comes back to help The Rock, and the entire time JBL, and you know this is coming from Vince, JBL is talking about how John Cena is not ready to come back. He's not 100%. There's no way he's ready to be able to do this full time. They were basically telling you that this is a one-time only thing for John Cena right now, and that he's going to be still gone for a while.
That's so. He did a lot for that one time.
He did a lot.
Especially putting guys on shoulders and whatnot. I mean, that's dangerous stuff.
Well, he's been doing all his lifting. So, I mean, he's good enough to do something. He's just not good enough to be doing probably the bumps back to back, you know, day in, day out.
Yeah. But, I mean, it goes into the whole theory of bringing the stars out. If he could have brought out Hogan at some point, he would have. But, I mean, that's chill. But dicey. I mean, this is a whole... What I compare it to at one time. Oh, the Eagles on tour. Just play the hits. Yeah. Don't play the new stuff. They want to, people, the casuals have come to see the hits.
Yep.
Let's see the hits.
Oh, yeah. No, they were playing the hits. They weren't doing anything new. That's for sure.
The Rock got his little sexual innuendo jokes in there, right, and then delivered a rock bottom. That's
tell
what
you, though,
does.
I mean, this show, I was interested in it. I was never bored throughout the show.
I was not bored. Don't get me wrong. My criticism is me as a wrestling critic. I had fun at the show. It went... You know what? It didn't seem like 6.5 hours to me. That was, I think that's the best compliment you can give, is that the show did not drag at all. The show did not drag at all for me live. It may have dragged for you.
It only started to drag for me. No, it only started to drag for me when, you know, Shane McMahon and The Undertaker was over. And you had The Rock. The Rock was out there for a long time, probably longer than they had to be. And then you start seeing, like, The Rock segment didn't end until 11 o'clock Eastern. So we're like, okay, what's happening here? Because the show is supposed to be over. And then you have the main event of Triple H and Roman. And at that point, I was just ready to do this live show, you know, because I had scheduled the live show for 11. I'm like, okay, obviously we can't do it until WrestleMania ends, but I don't want to be up until 2 a.m. doing a live show, you know?
Yeah, that Rock segment just reeked of, I'm an A-lister. Give me the mic. I'll do whatever the hell I want. Yeah, it was such a pointless thing. And then to go into the middle school play theatrics of Triple H and his entrances and Beyonce McMahon, or as I call it, she's dressed like the Acid Queen from Tommy. I knew you were enjoying that. Don't get me wrong. My first thought was, yeah, Rob's going to dig this.
Well, Stephanie's out there basically telling you, we're the bad guys, and you're never going to win. We're the bad guys. We're going to own you the whole time. And I just thought it was, you know, that's when you really sense that WrestleMania is performance art. You know, that
it's so performance art.
Yeah. They're out there doing that, and Triple H is doing his entrance. Triple H always getting those entrances.
Oh, that's Vince saying, we make movies, and his daughter wants to be a movie star.
Were the people digging Snoop Dogg?
They did. They were actually a bit, I mean, it's funny because the biggest shock to us was that Flo Rida got cut.
Yeah, there's no Flo Rida concert. And that was never announced, actually. It was never announced that he would. Just everyone, I think, either assumed it or there was a report that he was going to.
No, they said on TV, I believe, that he would perform it live. But, of course, WWE being what it is, over 6.5 hours, you heard that song enough times where you didn't have to hear it live.
That's true.
God.
That's true. You didn't have to hear it. You heard it a lot on Monday, though, as they were showing clips.
Yes.
Were they showing those clips on the arena Tron too, where they, you know, in between every match or so, every segment, they were having the highlight pictures of WrestleMania, and they would play that song? Were you getting that in the building too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything that, with the exception of real ad buys, everything that everything that made from the network got onto the Jumbotron where I was. I was in. About a couple rows behind where the Titantron was, so I couldn't see entrances, but I could see everything else perfectly. Go ahead.
So how was that Raw for you? Because obviously this is the first after Mania Raw you've been to since they started becoming a thing, right? Or no?
Yeah. No, I had never been to an arena WrestleMania.
Right.
I had been to Staples Center WrestleMania, but never to an arena one.
So what did you think about this Raw experience?
I had a blast at this Raw. I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but I mean, you know, I could punch logical holes in the booking to no end, but I had fun as a part of the crowd.
Yeah.
It wasn't the red hot crowd that you saw for the Brock return necessarily, but they were engaged for most of the show. And when they weren't engaged, yeah. These performers were in trouble.
I felt like they weren't necessarily engaged the whole time. It didn't seem like it. What they were doing was they were trying to, you know, they wanted all these debuts to happen, but they wanted them to happen right away. Like, they would not wait for Bayley. They would not wait for really anyone to show up on this Raw. They wanted them all in the first half hour. And then when they didn't get all the debuts in the first hour, they kind of went away for a little bit. Like, okay, we're going to chant our stuff, but when we're not chanting our stuff, we don't care about the show. And then the final half hour happened, and it was absolutely a fantastic final half hour of TV. But the crowd just seemed like, and I'm not hating on the crowd, you can go to a wrestling show and do whatever you want, but they were not waiting for anything to happen. They wanted everything to happen right away.
I will debate you a bit on this. I think they didn't really get out of control until it was apparent that Vince hyped this in his promo. He goes, "This will be a Raw you never forget."
True. Yep.
Okay, that's a high bar.
It is.
Given the past couple years of Raws.
Yes, that's true.
So that's what we were expecting. We were expecting, when he said that, we were all hyped for debuts and Balor Clubs or Bayley and Asuka and just all these other sorts of things. And we got rehashes of certain feuds.
You got Epico and Primo.
We got Epico and Primo.
Although
if we
look at it, what you got was AJ Styles winning the main event and getting a title shot. You got
that was great.
Enzo and Cass showing up. You got Apollo Crews, yes, who's a big, a baby face, a fan favorite. You did get Apollo Crews. And when you look at Raw last year, who did we get? We got the Lucha Dragons and we got Neville. So yeah, they're fun surprises, fun debuts, but it's not like they really debuted the big names. We got Paige the year before that. It hasn't been since Brock Lesnar's return where we've had like a main eventer come back.
No, I agree. But let's look at the other things we got. We got basically everything we watched on WrestleMania being told it didn't matter. We got the setup for the Sasha Flair feud. And then we got a, no offense to Charlotte. And I said this on the call-in show last night. She could not carry this promo because she could not stay in character. She was too busy trying to engage in the audience with the Bayley chants and whatnot and lost what she was doing.
She wasn't fluid. She wasn't sticking to what she was supposed to say.
She was corpsing. Yeah. She enjoys this crowd. And I love her enthusiasm, but she's a bad guy. And so she has to play this gratitude angle strong so that when the heel turn comes, we'll turn on her. And it didn't happen. And then Sasha just leaves the ring all of a sudden, and then we get Natty again. And we're just like, we just saw this a month ago in a build for the Roadblock show. Okay, great. You know, we get the Miz and Zack Ryder after a big win, and he says it's the biggest moment of his life, just to set up for Maryse coming back for Total Divas. You know, I mean, that's
it's fine by me. I love Maryse. Maryse is the best one. She's immediately the best woman they have. Immediately.
I like Maryse. Don't get me wrong. But the setup here to take away the win here and especially some of the criticism therein of Zack Ryder's win, which we will not get into on this show, but I tweeted about earlier today. Should you want to look at my timeline?
I don't.
You don't. But I mean, just don't take it seriously. It's fake. Shut up. It's his moment. His dad.
And he had his moment. It was a fantastic moment at WrestleMania, but he didn't need to have a long reign of any kind. So I'm completely fine with him, you know, losing the title the next night, which everyone I think knew was going to happen. I don't think that was actually a shock of any kind.
When the League of a Title switch came out, they thought it would either be Charlotte or Zack Ryder. And then when they were going to do the big presentation, we had guessed that was going to be Ryder. So, I mean, I get that. I think Miz's dad was also in the front row on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
At some point. I thought I caught that when they went to break. I thought he landed outside of where his dad was. So, I mean, I thought that was cute because I like Miz as a person. As a wrestler, he doesn't, as a character that they write for, he doesn't do too much for me. But as a person, I like him a lot. So, you know what? If this goes somewhere and it helps Zack Ryder make some money before they once again send him back to NXT purgatory, I'm fine with it. But, you know, whatever. I thought they mishandled the Baron Corbin debut.
Really? Why so?
They got too theatrical again. They love doing 100 words to make a guy monologue to seem great when less words would have helped him so much here. All he had to do was say, If you don't know who I am, this is all that tells you. I killed your little indie darlings in NXT. Bring me one of your darlings from Raw. Boom. He's a menace. But they go to the Vince McMahon thesaurus, and I decimated this, and here's my catchphrase. And with this crowd, he was going to get eaten alive doing this.
But he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Oh, no, he did not.
Oh, yes, he did.
Maybe in your little section.
In the arena, he got eaten alive, dude.
I don't think so.
They were chanting for a beach ball over him.
Yeah, but that was during the break, so we never saw that.
No, you didn't see it, but it was all during. They must have turned down the mics.
Yeah, because we didn't hear it. During the match. It was a long commercial break, man. I don't think any of it happened while, because I saw you tweeting about it, and all your tweets were coming while they were at commercial break.
Okay, well, it started beforehand.
Okay,
and it started like they were wanting him during his promo.
Yeah.
And he wasn't handling it very well either. So, I mean, I thought it missed on some steps. And okay. I thought a double countout win isn't the way to... Hell, I liked your idea. Just give it... If you're going to switch the title off of Zack Ryder, give it to Baron Corbin first night. Have him just destroy him.
Could have been cool. You know, I think what they'll do with Baron Corbin is he just, you know, he doesn't necessarily beat guys, but he'll, you know, keep coming out. Maybe it's Dolph Ziggler. Maybe Dolph Ziggler will be his first pay-per-view match. And all they do is just have him take out Dolph every once in a while, forgetting that he, you know, kind of has to win a match. But this Payback show, because Payback is the next pay-per-view.
Right.
And we got tonight AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns set up for the main event of that Payback show. And that show was happening in Chicago. So what is going on here with their big babyface star who said in a promo on Raw, I actually thought Roman Reigns had one of his better nights. Roman Reigns was out there. He was dismissive of Sami Zayn, dismissive of everyone, really. He was more himself versus being the stoic babyface champion. He was more, you know, leaning back and picking his spots. Does it look like they're changing the character for a little bit for Roman Reigns? Because he's going to go into Chicago, get booed out of his mind against AJ Styles.
I was going to ask you the same question.
It looks like they're changing what he's going to be about for a little bit.
Let me throw this at you and ask how this would go over. That the quote-unquote Balor Club are actually there to help protect Reigns' title.
Like they're Shield 2.0 and Roman Reigns saw well it worked?
Exactly. Yeah. They're his Shield 2.0 and they're there to protect him because it fits in with what the WWE does with heel stables in that you have a star and then you have cannon fodder.
Yeah. I could see something like that happening.
Because that's what I was thinking.
Maybe at the end of Payback,
When he started that promo in front of that audience, that felt like he was starting to turn heel. And especially when he looks at other faces and just kind of shoos them away.
Really? Yeah, I know. He was. He was shooing Sami Zayn
that
away.
Fascinated me.
Now he's got AJ Styles here in Chicago, so I could very well see something.
That shocked the crowd live.
AJ win?
That was because we had all basically, here's where Jericho steals the win.
Right.
No? What? Whoa. And we're all kind of, I mean... I don't know how big the reaction sounded on TV. It didn't sound as big in the arena, I don't think, because I think everybody was just kind of, again, shocked. It was kind of like the Bayley situation where I think, you know, the cynical crowd had basically resigned themselves to, well, they're going to go the easy route here and let it be, you know, they're going to have Sammy and Kevin Owens feud, and then they're going to move Jericho on to Roman Reigns, and then AJ will do something somewhere down the line. But no, they didn't. And that, and they gave him a long exit. They played his theme like four or five times as he walked around the crowd.
Yeah.
Given the hand signal with the gloves and everything. There was no dark match after.
So no, the show ended with AJ Styles right after his victory. He got up in the ring, was celebrating. That's when the show cut off right away. And then it came out. They put a video of him kind of crying in the ring a little bit, going teary eyed, you know, after his victory. That was it. They closed the show with AJ Styles up as the victor. And now you go into Payback where it looks like you're probably going to have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You're going to have AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. You could have The Miz and Zack Ryder, the rematch there, unless they bring someone else up for The Miz. And you're going to have a Baron Corbin match. Like this is what your Payback is looking like right now.
So WrestleMania is officially not in continuity, right?
It's starting not to be. And yeah, it's kind of a pay-per-view all to itself. And then they go back to their regular pay-per-view schedule where they have the winners and losers based on, what's going on in story.
Which is why I'm thinking, you know what, if I go out next year, I won't go to WrestleMania. I'll just go to all the shows surrounding it and I'll watch WrestleMania on TV because it's a made for TV product.
Especially for all of these situations you have with the big arenas. Like, even if I had gone, this was always my plan. Even if I had gone to Dallas, I was going to do the events on Friday, Saturday, and then watch Sunday from a hotel room or a bar somewhere nearby. I wasn't going to be a part of that mess. I don't think it's worth it to me to be a part of that mess anymore. I've been to three WrestleManias. You know, my favorite one was the one in Chicago, 22. And you didn't have all that hassle being at a somewhat smaller arena, you know, 20,000 people versus 60 to 70,000. Because I went to Detroit and Arizona, and I much more enjoyed the experience in Chicago than I did those other two. So if I went to a WrestleMania city, I would have, you know, the fun of being there Friday and Saturday, meeting all the people. But I don't think I would actually attend the WrestleMania show itself.
Question.
Yeah.
We talk about WrestleMania moments.
Uh-huh.
And I find that
there were a lot of them on the show.
There were. Well, OK, it'll go to my question then, because how many of these will be truly memorable, say, in about 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And is there any match from this card that we'll be looking back on and going, do you remember that really, really great match on this WrestleMania?
I don't think there's a match that'll be super memorable or memorable. And I don't think that matters too much, because I don't know if there's WrestleManias the past couple of years that really have that true one standout.
That was gonna be a follow up question for me, because it's one of those things where I'm going, man, what was the last really great WrestleMania match that I can remember that sticks out as something that may, if you put it in a time capsule and you open it back up,
think,
you'd be going, yeah.
I think Shawn and Undertaker from 25 is the last one kind of like that.
I'd agree.
Yeah. I don't know if you're gonna have that. You know, Daniel Bryan, the whole thing around Daniel Bryan at 30 is super memorable. But not necessarily the main event match.
True.
You know, as far as moments in this one, I thought you had the moment, obviously, of Shane jumping off to the announce table. That's going to be one huge moment that people remember. I think people are going to remember that Roman Reigns won the title on this one. I don't necessarily think they're going to care about the match per se. And then the women's championship, the fact that we had a new women's championship belt, that's going to be remembered as part of 32.
What do you think of the end of that women's match? What was your take on that? I forget.
You know, I was fine with it when I watched it. I get all the criticism, because if you don't know what's happening in some circles, you know, we had these three women fighting for the brand new women's championship. It was all about promoting, you know, it took till what, 2016 for WWE to call women women. And now they're promoting the women's aspect of the sport of it. And it was this big moment. They played it up huge as a big moment. And then what happens? You have Charlotte winning because of a man. Because of her dad, Ric Flair, and the controversy there being, isn't it a little weird that a man helped a woman win the women's championship? And I didn't necessarily see it too much as that when I was watching it, because to me it was, you know, a heel manager helping the heel win, and she was going to win no matter what. And we now know that Charlotte is, while she talks a big game about the women in wrestling, she's not over letting her dad help her win. She's not really about promoting the sport of women's wrestling. She just wants that title belt, right? That's kind of the story here. But I definitely see how it's weird for some in this particular context. If this were at Payback and they had a clean win by someone at WrestleMania, and then at Payback, Ric Flair helped Charlotte win the title, I don't think it's that big of a controversy. I just think it's because it was that one night on the start of the women's championship, when they put a whole bunch of stuff behind this, that it was weird seeing a man help the woman win. And I think that there's a point there.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of the three-way finish where you throw someone out and steal a pin.
I would have been fine if Becky had just taken Sasha out somehow, and then you build up Sasha and Charlotte because Sasha couldn't be involved in the finish because of the three-way rules.
Yeah, just have her knocked out outside the ring or helpless of some variety. Or even if Flair did it outside the ring, just not during the three count, you know, not so close to the three count. Have Flair take her out at some point. And then that leaves Becky vulnerable for the clean finish. I thought that would have been a much easier one to swallow.
There were some other stuff you could have done without it being super weird. But I get the context, the argument that it was weird on that night of all nights.
And I think that, with it being the first match, and it really kind of takes away from it being a memorable match to me in some ways. I mean, I'll watch it again because I enjoy all three ladies' work. But as one of those matches that you look at and you point to and you go, watch that, I'd still point to more NXT women's matches before that one.
How impressive was that Eva Marie in the pre-show, huh?
You know what? I'm with the consensus here. That match over-delivered.
Yeah,
that match was a lot of fun, I thought.
It went 12 minutes. It was fun. Eva Marie got her sliced red in, and Mara Rinaldo got yelled at for not knowing the name of the move. So,
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he called it the sliced bread number two. And then You hear him go silent for a little bit. And all of
and
a sudden,
you're hearing the little chatter in the ear, yep. ear set. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear him come back. And that she calls the sliced red.
Yep. Oh, that's a shame.
Yep. Mara Rinaldo for you. Mara Rinaldo was keen on getting all his references in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was keen on getting all his references in. But when it came actually, you know, telling the stories, that's where you can tell he still needs a lot of work. He's not getting what Vince wants him to get yet.
Well, he's not produced by Vince either at SmackDown, I don't think.
Yeah, but he sure was on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No, he was on Sunday. And, you know, at NXT, he was like working his way trying to say Mamma Mia in how many different ways so that he could pop the crowd around NXT. I would have loved Mauro on WrestleMania. It would make me more apt to watch it, but I understand why they don't.
Yeah,
it's a hard shill.
Michael Cole was really good too. I actually thought there was nothing wrong with Michael Cole. He was a little funny at certain times because he was promoting the baby faces like he was their manager sometimes. Like I don't know if you can really tell what I mean by that unless you watch it. But like during the John Cena segment, and it's like, it's not going to be a WrestleMania without the five knuckle shuffle. You got to give him the five knuckle shuffle, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, so he was playing Saxton's role?
Basically, too? Yeah. He was kind of okay. Like, yeah, give him the five knuckle shuffle. You got to do it at WrestleMania. He was doing some of that a little bit. He was, you know, for Sacco when Mr. Sacco came out on Mick Foley, it was kind of the same thing.
He was playing
fanboy of the legends.
Okay, now let me ask you another question about commentary on a show, just because we're into silly season right now and we've gone through all of them. The Raw show, Bizarro World.
Oh, have you not? You haven't seen anything about this Raw, huh?
The very first
thing we saw on the Monday Night Raw episode were a shot of the announcers telling us that this is the weirdest crowd of the year, that they're going to boo people they normally cheer for, and that they cheer for people they normally boo for. That was the very first thing that we got, Michael Cole telling us about how this crowd was going to be weird and eccentric, and they did that throughout the night when anyone would boo a babyface or cheer a bad guy. JBL would be right there to remind us that, oh, it's the Raw after WrestleMania. These people come from all over the world to have fun. They boo who they normally cheer for. Ha ha ha.
And we're all for freedom of speech.
Yeah, no, we got that. We got that about five times throughout the show. But the very first thing you saw as a Raw viewer was the announcement, basically, is what it was, that this Raw crowd is going to be weird and they're not going to cheer for the baby faces and they're not going to boo for the heels.
Oh, why do you do that? Because the crowd is teaching these people. This is the crowd that teaches people how to. So you write the show to. That makes me angry, but that makes sense given Vince saying a couple times, you people are wacky and kooky.
Oh, yeah. No, it was like, a regular thing. It was a regular thing.
Oh, so so they're basically saying, don't pay attention to this crowd.
Kind of.
That's what they told us. Oh, my goodness. Because
the crowd's going to be back to normal next week.
Oh, my God.
In wherever they are. I think they're in Los Angeles next week. Where are they?
Yeah. Oh, no, they are because I was asked if I could get someone tickets.
And, oh, yeah. Are you going to go?
No.
You're done with the wrestling for a little bit? The live attendance?
Yes. Yeah, I'll watch it at home because I got to review it. I don't want to put that on Sean for 2 weeks.
No, I'm sure he doesn't. He's fine reviewing the Raw after WrestleMania. That's usually the good show.
Oh, yeah, I know. I threw him that bone. Right. Oh, man, that's – what did you think of that? I think that's a giant mistake. I think this is where you start to condition. Yeah,
you're conditioning the fans. Not that it would matter anyway because the next group is going to be the same way. The only thing that happens is if you book Raw like a normal Raw, that'll start conditioning the fans that it's normal again.
But see, that undercuts Enzo and Cass right there then.
Well, no, I'm not saying this year. I'm saying next year. And you're right. It would mean you don't get debuts.
No, I meant when they come out to that giant pop.
Oh, and they're getting cheered for?
If you're telling them that right. They're doing the wrong chance for people, you're conditioning them the wrong way, potentially. Then.
Right, that's a way. Yeah, if they're going to cheer for who they normally boo for, well, are they cheering for Enzo and Cass and their bad guys? Should we boo them next week?
Man, that's...
I don't think that'll happen. That's a little extreme, but you're right. I mean, you're telling people that up front. But the only way to change it is slowly over time, you just start booking Raws normally, only using the roster that you have already, that you don't bring guys up. You're not throwing huge, you know, indie darling people in the main event and having them win. Cesaro returned on the show, which I thought was awesome because now we're back to where we can see Cesaro long matches and not Wade Barrett or Sheamus long matches. So I am looking forward to Cesaro being back.
In the arena, there was a lot of concern that Sami Zayn had legit hurt himself.
Yeah, but after that main event played out, it was kind of like I was joking about it because I didn't really think that he was hurt. So I'm joking about it on Twitter. Like, after one live report and zero visual evidence, I can exclusively report that Sami Zayn is out for a year with an injury.
Well, you weren't helping, but I mean, if you were doing that, but no, there were people literally trying to find out information on Twitter once he hurt, because we were all concerned about that and going, oh man, this is going to happen again.
No, I think this is just your story for getting him out of there so that he's not cheered massively at the main event. They can go to Styles, and now you have your setting up for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn without the title being on the line, because that's what I didn't think would happen. I thought Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens would be the payback match. I thought it would be for the Intercontinental title, and now it's just going to be a regular straight match, most likely. So
yeah, and for me, my thinking was they don't need the title to feud. Theirs is a blood feud. They got plenty of stuff to do, and they don't need the Intercontinental title.
They don't. Maybe the world title a year from now. Like, if, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have their feud now, and then a year from now, one of them is champion. Well, look who's coming, calling back. You know, looking for that title.
That's so cute that you think Sami Zayn will sniff the world title under Vince McMahon.
Oh, I think it would be Owens. And Sami Zayn
I think Owens would have the title. I don't think they'd ever let Sami challenge. Hey, they might.
Who's challenging at Payback, sir? AJ Styles.
Okay.
Unless it's the Raw match, do you think they would go with AJ Styles on Raw and not Payback? Because they never did say it was a Payback match. They said he was the number one contender. Doesn't mean that match is going to take place at Payback.
Or they could use the number one contender as a de facto title. And maybe Triple H comes back and gives him a pedigree and we get a rematch. Because we thought in the arena, we were thinking Balor or Triple H was going to be the mystery guy in the four way.
Oh, really?
That was us talking. We never expected Cesaro.
Well, there you got Cesaro, the big return of Cesaro. And that they're starting SmackDown right now. You know, so we're going to have the Vaudevillains coming in, which I just think. Do you think that Vaudevillains make Raw next week, or they might be kept to SmackDown? You know, this isn't a brand split by any means, but there are situations where they might keep guys just to SmackDown.
I think they might get they won't get a big interest, but they'll say we saw them debut on SmackDown, and they may get a win over the Ascension on Raw.
Because these after WrestleMania SmackDowns are really interesting, because most of the crowd, they're in Houston, and they're not in, I think they're in the same, they're not in the same arena, obviously, as the NCAA championship last night. But Houston has all those NCAA people involved. All the WrestleMania people stayed in Dallas and went home. So SmackDown is kind of back to normal. And I don't necessarily know if the Vaudevillains are going to get a huge reaction in front of a normal crowd for their debut. And that's why I really think they're just sending them out there to sink or swim. And they don't care one way or another. It's just a way to either get them gone or to make something of them. Because there's really, like I said, nothing else for them to do. So it'll be interesting to see how they go.
It's interesting some of the things they're doing, because they had, for Superstars, they had Fandango and Ryback. So they've demoted Ryback to Superstar status now.
Yep, he's on Superstars, Fandango and Ryback. And you have tonight, like, who does the Vaudevillains go up against? Is it Ascension?
Probably. And then they have a rematch on Raw?
Maybe. Or Superstars.
Or they could, you know, put them up against the hype bros.
Yeah, I don't know if you put, I don't think you put Zack Ryder as a hype bro on the main roster right now.
No, but I think, yeah, okay, that's right. They're going to keep him around probably for that Miz.
I think he's going to wrestle Miz at Payback. We don't know, obviously, if that's the case, because what about this? We actually thought maybe, I think you were on the call when we thought that Emma could possibly be a second for Ryder, right?
Yes, yes. I think they could turn her face very easy if they wanted to.
Yeah, they kind of, they don't necessarily
or she could end up turning on. I mean, you know, Vince, they may put Emma and Zach in a match and have Emma turn them and split them up just to test the relationship.
Oh, great for them. Great for them. What else from this WrestleMania weekend before we go, Jeff? It's finally over. We're back home. You're back home anyway. Yes. WrestleMania weekend is over. We obviously, because of this conversation, we're going to do our top 100 match next week. We're going to get back on schedule with our top 100 matches on WWE Network to see Before You Die. I think we still got, what is it, Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko to get through, right?
Yes.
Yep. So we're going to do that one next week. We'll get back on schedule there, talking about Raw, the build up towards Payback and so forth. But anything else for the people? You want to talk about your WrestleMania weekend?
You know, if you ever get the chance, I mean, this is late for me in my life, so to speak. In terms of being a wrestling fan, but it's worth it to go for the experience once. There's a lot of great people who are wrestling fans. There are a few scary ones. Don't get me wrong. There's a few scary wrestling fans out there, But overall, it was a really, really fun time. And you know, try and go to as much stuff and get exposed to as many different styles as you can, because that's also part of it, is your own personal wrestling education.
Follow us on Twitter, at Shake Them Ropes is myself. Jeff is at CrapGame13. We're on YouTube. Go back and check out all our post shows from NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania, and last night's Raw. All the videos are up on demand right now at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube. We will be back next week with more Shake Them Ropes.